11 o'clock in the evening now, and time for a special edition of Late Junction, which comes live from the Edinburgh Festival. So let's cross live to the BBC tent. Sounds glamorous. Just the place to find Max Reinhardt and friends.
Thank you, Ian, and it is very glamorous here tonight. But on the train on the way here, sitting amongst all the jugglers, fire eaters, performance poets and stand-up celebrity chefs, I was agonising over how to kick off this Edinburgh Festival edition of Late Junction. Then I bumped into this man, who presented me with his card. It read, Shlomo, beatboxer.
Late Junction. Edinburgh.
Welcome indeed to Late Junction, coming to you live from the heart of the Edinburgh Festivals, the big blue BBC tent at Potter Row. Well, right now, three festivals are coinciding and colliding here in Edinburgh. Edinburgh International Festival, Edinburgh Festival Fringe and Edinburgh International Book Festival. And we've been able to pick some of the finest talents from this cultural hurly-burly. And you'll be hearing them performing live on this stage tonight. So let's start with our beatboxing virtuoso, Shlomo. You're currently an artist in residence down in London at the South Bank Centre. So did your parents raise you as a beatboxer?
They raised me as a drummer. I've been making music since I was a child. And I started beatboxing as a way to practice my drums because I wasn't allowed to practice after 6 p.m. because the neighbours would complain. But Top of the Pops was on at 7, so I had to find a way to learn those rhythms, and I just started using my voice.
So what are you going to do for us now?
I'm going to do a very short piece for you. It's called Layers. Shall I go? Shall I do
it? Okay, we're very lucky to have you here. Let's hear it for Shlomo and Layers.
Yeah, when you're beatboxing, it's best to start right at the beginning with the first sound. Number one is called the hi-hat. Number two is called the snare. Number three is called the synth. And number four is called the kick. Shall I put the first four together for you? You don't sound that bothered. I said, shall I put the first four together for you?
Yeah!
Okay. Yep, yep, yep. This is all from the mouth. One, hi-hat. Two, snare. Three, synth goes.
And did it make your parents very happy?
No, it made my parents very annoyed.
Okay, well, Shlomo's rushing off now to the underbelly Bristow Square. Thank you very much
for
coming in.
Take care, sir.
He's doing a show called The Human Geekbox to delight the masses for the next three nights. Meanwhile, on Late Junction tonight, we've live performances from some of the finest acts in Edinburgh, including Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch and, yeah, Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch.
Woo!
Yes, indeed. The Aurora Percussion Duo.
Woo!
And we'll also let you hear some recordings of our festival encounters so far. But first, from Lesotho, the funkiest bunch of shepherds you're ever likely to hear, Sotho Sounds.
Woo!
Sutu Sounds with a tune called Jerusalem. Now, over here we have the man who discovered Sutu Sounds. That's after they discovered themselves. And brought them over here. So your name's Rizenga Makondo.
Yes.
And you're a renowned percussionist, aren't you, from South Africa, because I've seen you play.
Oh, thanks.
But now you're living down in the south of England, actually Boreham Wood.
Yes.
And okay, but you are the man who brought the world Sutu Sounds. Tell us the story. How did it happen?
Oh, it happened because I went to Lesotho in 2003 with my first wife and my two lovely kids. First wife, I mean, you know. You, in English, you say ex-wives. And we went together to
Can
Lesotho.
Can we not go there?
No, we won't.
Carry on.
And then I was there sitting in this lovely place called Malele. It's a village. And whilst we were sitting there, they said, there's a band coming. And this band came up. And these guys, they came in, these shepherds from the hills, and they started playing. So I thought, oh, this is quite amazing, because from South Africa, having seen African music, I thought this was unique, that they had nothing, and out of nothing, they made something. They are instruments, and they are on music. So I was impressed.
And did they make their music, and did they rehearse their music actually while they were looking after sheep and animals up in the hills?
I think that is, it was almost like, I think for me it was a way of life rather than rehearsing. It was necessity, because you had the goats, the animals, the water, the sea, the countryside, and then of course the instruments. I think it was the vision of the idea of the city, the band. And so how do we make our own band? And that's how the band came together, and it was quite interesting.
And so how did you turn them into music that you could transport across the world?
Oh, it's because I've been performing myself. I just thought, oh, this is a good idea, but maybe we just need to make it so that it's universal, rather than being from Lesotho only. So as to work with them on, okay, this is how we approach it when we're performing for a sitting audience. This is how we approach it when we're in the city, when we're in the countryside. So I basically did a lot of workshops with them, and more workshops. And then, of course, our first gig was with the Womad Festival in England and then Australia. But I just basically, I have to keep workshopping. Even today, we still workshop. And they workshop me too.
And when it came to recording, you recorded some of it outdoors, didn't you? Because there are barking dogs and children playing and things like that on it.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was just a small portable recording, which we did record on, sitting in a very small studio. So basically everything is organic, as you can see.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's time for another tune. So, do you know what they're going to play?
I don't know.
I do. I do. Look, it says it there.
Do
you want to tell us?
Tsianku.
Thank you. Suto Sounds. Yeah. Suto Sounds. Suto Sounds. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And please come back later. Okay. Yeah, that was Seanku from Suto Sounds. And we're going to hear much more of them a little later on. But now it's time for some music from a band who haven't come from quite so far away as the Suto. In fact, they've probably been able to jump on a bus or maybe the odd train to get here tonight. So, this is some of the finest folkies in the lowlands of Scotland, or the Central Rift Valley, whatever you want to call it. See, I did O-level geography, or before it was GCSE. And I think that they're ready to go, are you? Yeah. So this is Bella Hardy, and she won the Best Original Song in the Radio 2 Folk Awards 2012. Yeah. Maybe she'll even play the song. And she's here with her band, the Midnight Watch.
Voices singing dum da 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 dum. silver and shoes and a promise. Thought I'd be a good man's wife and life would be complete. But the nights turned cold and the moon changed her face and my temper. And you looked right through me like you never knew me. And I've been loving you like the frosted trees of winter, waiting for the spring. But my heart was sweetly melted when first I heard him. Dum da ya da da dum, dum da ya da da dum, dum da ya da da dum, dum da ya da da dum. I kicked off my heels and I dressed in leather, and I straight ran down the stairs to my. My darling one, my dearie. And I swear Lord Castle will ne'er come near thee. What care I for feather beds? I'll be sleeping in the fields for some.
Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch. I've been loving you like a soldier in the peacetime waiting for the war.
Yes.
That's quite a lyric.
Thank you.
And actually, I was tempted to think when I first heard it that it was a traditional song. And then I heard the bit about the leather. Wasn't so sure.
Well, you say that, but it is based on a traditional song. It's a song, that one called Good Man's Wife. But it's the story from the Raggle Taggle Gypsies, or the Seven Yellow Gypsies, which is an old ballad that was collected by Francis James Child, the great collector of ballads.
When did he live?
Ages ago.
Ages ago, okay.
And he collected, he collected ballads from, he was an American man actually, Francis James Child, and he collected ballads from England and Scotland and Ireland and America and all over.
The Child Ballads?
The Child Ballads. Yeah, how they are known as the Child Ballads. It has nothing to do with children's songs, which you learn quite quickly when you listen to them.
Indeed.
Because they're rather riddled with murder and incest.
Well, that's how you know the good song.
Absolutely,
Okay, and so you've got this album out, splendid album, came out about 3 months ago, Battle Plan.
Battle Plan, yes.
And how many of the songs on it are originals and how many are...
They're a really big mix on this album of original and traditional. I absolutely love the traditional songs and a lot of my songwriting stems from that kind of starting point. But I try not to see them as a separate entity. In fact, I don't see them at all that way. I think it's important to roll them into the way that our minds work anyway. And as a songwriter, I like to just do whatever comes to me. And sometimes that is quite traditional sounding and sometimes it's not. So it's a really big, probably quite a 50-50 mix on this album.
And where do you get your love of traditional music from? And where do you get your knowledge of traditional music from?
Well, I started going to festivals when I was a teenager, and sitting in the club tents at the big festivals or just in pubs and listening to shanty sessions and the rest. My dad is from Hull, and he used to go and listen to the Watersons singing, and that really inspired his love of traditional song, and he would sing washing up shanties as we grew up, as he called them. And something to get the children to do some work in the kitchen, I think, mainly, is the aim of it. But it came from that, really, and they're just such brilliant stories. I'm a real story lover. And traditional music is all about the story. And the ballads and the great songs that survive are there because they're timeless stories, and they still have the same meaning today that they always did. So they really can be used in any which way still.
Mm. So what have you got up your sleeve for us next?
We're going to do a song, especially seeing as we're in Edinburgh for the festival, I think.
You live in Edinburgh?
I live in Edinburgh, yep. I'm from Edale in the Peak District, and I'm still there quite a lot of my time, but I'm also based up here in Edinburgh, which is spoilt.
And where, best of both worlds. Where do these people come from?
These lovely people behind me, the Midnight Watch. This is Anna Massey from the Black Isle in Scotland. And on the double bass there we have Mr. James Lindsay. Angus Lyon on the keys, also a Scottish man. And our non-Scottish representative, but he lives in Scotland too, my Canadian friend, Mr. Matty Folds on the drums.
Hey. Okay, so what's the song going to be?
The song is Whiskey, You're the Devil.
Oh, that's true. Okay, Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch. Whiskey, You're the Devil.
Tonight, my home, you'll see. Love, farewell, oh, whiskey, you're the devil. You're leading me astray. Over hills and mountains and to America. You're sweeter, stronger, decenter than any man my way. Whiskey, you're my darling, drunk or sober. If you've no taste for whiskey, that worm would steal your soul. If you're looking for false hearted girls, the devil tonight, my home, you'll see.
Song now that's from the tradition. This is a ballad that's usually called The Outlandish Knight or Lady Isabel and the Elfin Knight. I call it The Seventh Girl.
outlandish knight came from the Northlands, and he scarcely could leave me alone. And he's promised it'd take me the wide world to see. Oh, fly home, lost ladies, fly home. He said, come fetch to me some of your father's bright gold. Fetch me some of your mother's own fee. And come fetch me the best nags from out of your yard, where they stand for 30 and 3. Where they stand for 30 and 3. He's mounted onto her silver white horse, and he's mounted her father's strong grey. And they've rode till they've come to the rocky seashore, 3 dark hours before it was day. Oh, light off your silver white horse, and deliver yourself unto me. For 6 pretty girls have I drowned right here, and the 7th girl you now shall be. Oh, the 7th girl you now shall be. Pull off that good silken gown, and deliver yourself unto me. For the fabric's too fine and too costly by far to let rot in the cold, briny sea. And pull off that good Holland smock, and deliver it here unto me. For it seems such a waste to let such clothes be lost while the fishes they nibble at thee. While the fishes they nibble at thee. Well, if I must strip down all naked and bare, cut the thorn that grows there by the brim, or else it might tangle my curly gold hair and tear my glittering skin. Well, he's taken his knife and he's turned to the thorn that grows by the salt water's brim. But so speedy she's run, and she's pushed him so hard that she's thrown this false young man in to the tide. She's fast thrown him. Tumbled down low till he's come to the rocky seaside, crying, catch hold of my hand, my pretty fair lady, and I will make you my bride. Oh, lie there, you false-hearted man, make your bed in the deep, briny blue. For 6 pretty girls have you drowned right here, but the 7th girl has drowned you. And he scarcely could leave me alone. And he's promised to take me the wide world to see. Oh, fly home, lost ladies, fly home. Oh, fly home, lost ladies, fly home.
Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch, the 7th girl. And they'll be back in a little while with more music. You're listening to Lake Junction, a Radio 3 broadcast live from the BBC tent at Potter Row in the heart of the Edinburgh Festival. And now it's time for me to share an epic piece of magic from this year's Edinburgh International Festival with you. Join me, if you will, on this visit I made last night to a piece of immersive promenade theatre. We've just walked through the revolving doors into the not at all otherworldly Edinburgh International Conference Centre, but this is where it starts. The immersive piece of theatre that Gridiron Theatre Company are doing, it's called Leaving Planet Earth, and that's what I'm going to do. Leave planet Earth, and the vehicle that we're going to leave planet Earth on, that's going to be a bus. Our shuttles to another world, and on my hand, my personal quantifier is flashing at me. I think it's time to blast off.
Welcome aboard Voyager 8600. This is an extraordinary moment for us all. As you know, you are the final people departing from old Earth.
Please proceed to your next stage of acclimatization.
My name's Catherine Evans, and I'm one of the co-writers and directors on Leaving Planet Earth.
Hello, my name is Lewis Hetherington. I am one of the writers and directors on Leaving Planet Earth.
Our starting point really was the idea of the Earth as the ultimate disposable item and what that would mean and what kind of world that would look like.
Empty black space, and then rocks and dust and matter collide and crash together to form a crag of rock which swells and grows, pulling close everything which comes near, becoming a globe, turning at terrific speed.
We were really drawn to science fiction as an inspiration, partly because I think a lot of the science fiction that we know and enjoy kind of serves as a kind of lens to look at where we are now, and I think we're excited about using those big epic aesthetic things that you find in science fiction about space and crossing light years and crossing galaxies, and then actually use that to relook at the human condition actually in kind of microscopic detail.
Is the data log running?
Yes. Can
so you had your story, and then how did you get the idea that immersive theatre was the most powerful way of telling it?
We very quickly decided we wanted to do it in a big space and somewhere that felt sort of inside and outside at the same time, and we didn't really quite know what that meant. Jude, the producer of Gridiron, happened to go out to the climbing arena on Doors Open Day, and she just phoned us straight away, and she was like, "You've got to see this place, it's amazing." And it kind of, I say, it did capture this inside-outside feeling that we kept talking about, that we didn't know what we meant, but, you know, as you've seen, because there's the quarry walls, you know, running throughout the building, and there's the absolute vast scale and all that glass, you simultaneously feel kind of at once overwhelmed, but also very contained.
Please proceed to your next stage.
Constant companion throughout it all was the music. I mean, the music was a constant, non-stop. So, how did you decide that's what you wanted to do, and who did the music?
Philip Pinsky, he was on board from really early on,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He was one of the first design
team. And he's done a lot of work with Gridiron in the past. And, I mean, he just writes beautiful underscore as well as sort of very specific you know, vignettes or moments. And actually I think once we'd decided that each room was going to be a sort of different part of the acclimatization center, we realized that in order to really immerse people in each room and almost let them forget what they'd just been through or where they might be going next, that sound was going to just play a really big part in that.
Okay, well, we're back at the Edinburgh International Conference Centre, and what a mighty fine building it is. As people get off the bus, what would you like them to be taking away from your show tonight, Lewis?
The big question we've always asked ourselves is, what is our relationship to this planet and the way we engage with it and the way we consume things? And I guess for people to think, how can we start imagining a better society? And I think that takes a lot of complicated, challenging ideas, but I think that's what we'd love for people to start engaging with, because that's what we've done during the process.
Gridiron's Leaving Planet Earth runs three nights a week until August the 24th. Each 3.5-hour journey to New Earth begins at 8 o'clock at the Edinburgh International Conference Centre. But now we've come back to old Earth and materialised once again into Lake Junction, coming to you live from the stage of the big blue BBC tent here at Potter Row in the centre of Edinburgh, right in the middle of this city's great month of festivals. Now, at this moment, for those of you at home, our stage is dominated by the imposing presence of two marimba. And that's because they're about to be played by the award-winning Wunderkinds of the Aurora Percussion Duo. Yep, they are good. Their repertoire comes from across the past three centuries and from all over the world. And this is their version of the prelude from Bach's English Suite in A minor. Bach's English Suite in A minor. Now, I did say A minor. But played on the two marimbas by the Aurora Percussion Duo. That would be Delia Stevens and Leo. Come over here a moment. So I can see you and you can see me. So, Leo.
Hello.
that was truly fantastic. But a percussion duo like yours seems to me to be a sort of a project fraught with difficulties. I mean, really, you're sort of living the impossible dream. For a start, don't you have to tour those two huge beasts in, you know,
what kind of
truck?
Well, we tend to do lots of concerts around England, around this country, so we always bring these two babies with us in the big car of Delia's. So we have to travel a lot, and especially today, I wheel this marimba on the road, and the people are taking pictures. It's kind of fun.
What happens if you tour internationally?
We tend to contact the country we go before we're there, and then they try to arrange all the instruments there. So basically, for international tours, it's easy for us. We just take our mallets and go to play.
Okay. So Delia, have you got an HGV license?
No.
Okay. Oh, that's something that music college ought to be teaching hefty percussionists. So you must also have to develop your own repertoire. That would be another problem. So who did the arranging of the Bach for that?
We both did the arrangements, but nearly every single piece we're playing today has been arranged by us. So originally, when we played a drum piece by Tsivkovich, originally it was written for three people, but I really liked it, so I arranged it for two, for me and Leo. And then we both arranged a Piazzolla, which is originally for guitars. And then the Bach is obviously arranged because Bach didn't know about the marimba.
But again, you are making work for yourselves because you can't just go into a music shop and, you know, buy the arrangements. But that's probably why it sounds so wonderful and so beautiful. Where did you two meet?
Actually, when I was undergraduate at the Royal Northern College of Music, she was in a junior RNCM. And then we had a master class, and she was playing one of the master classes. And then I was like, oh, this girl's so talented. I should ask her to play with me. And after that, and I asked her, oh, Delia, when you come to RNCM for the undergraduate, do you want to play with me? And she said, oh, of course. And then we started when she was the first year, and then in September, that was 2 years ago.
So have you both graduated?
I currently graduate, just graduated.
But Delia has yet to graduate.
I'm about to go into my fourth year of undergrad.
Oh, well, what about that? Major talent. So do you think that Leo plays pretty well as well?
He's all right, yeah.
Okay, what are you going to play for us now?
The next piece we're going to play for you is by Argentina tango composer Piazzolla's Tango Suite.
Okay, well, here they go again, the Aurora Percussion Duo. Thank you. So, Piazzolla's Tango Suite for two guitars, arranged for two marimbas by the Aurora Percussion Duo. And there'll be more of them just a little later on. This is Lake Junction coming to you live from Edinburgh. Yeah, and some other people have come on stage, and we will reveal who in just a little while. But, you know, we're not the only Radio 3 programme coming to you live from the festival. You can hear concerts broadcast live from Queen's Hall on Radio 3 at 11 o'clock each weekday morning during the International Festival. Tomorrow, it's clarinetist Nicola Baud. And on Friday, Sean Rafferty will be delighting the festival crowd in this very tent on Friday, 4:30, with a live edition of In Tune. I'll be live from Edinburgh again tomorrow night with an exquisite Lake Junction miniature. We start at 11:45 tomorrow, and we'll have an interview with the legendary Meredith Monk. Yeah. Live music from fiddle and harp duo Katrina Mackay and Chris Stout, plus Japanese folk from Okinawan band Ship of the Ryuku. But now, guess what? More music from Lesotho with Sotho Sounds! I think that was called Mahapong. Mahapong, was that tune? Well, maybe it was. What's that, Mahapong? Rizenga. Rizenga's back. And you'll remember that it was Rizenga Makondo who found this band when they were shepherds and minding goats and sheep in Lesotho. Now, it's just occurred to me as I look at the band.
Yes.
That maybe part of your idea of internationalizing their appeal. Some people might say that you're ever camping it up. What do you think? You know, not in any pejorative way, I'm just saying.
I spent 20 years in Brighton. So. It's cultural diversity.
You're right.
Yes.
Very good answer, actually. Very good answer. Okay, so what I'd like you to do now is, can we have a look at the instruments that they're playing? Because I know that they're homemade instruments.
Yes.
So who is this gentleman?
Dengiso.
My name is Dengiso.
Okay, Dengiso. So What have we got here? Is that made out of that's some kind of oil can?
Oil can, yes. It's fish oil, dead fish oil on.
And what have you made the pegs from? Well, it looks like
this is just I think it's from Gisklar, ne? Just the tree, you know, twigs from trees, and this just
a plank.
Just a plank, yes.
But yes. So tell me, and these look like guitar strings. Are they guitar strings?
These are guitar strings. We have to basically, normally they use fishing rods, but we came here and then I thought it's too cold. We went to a shop in Scotland and just bought this.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And where does he get his skirt from? Or is that a kilt? You know, just tell me.
Or is taller guys get this?
Setswa le Sotho kwana ke la ka ketsa tsona ke tsa costume ya ka ya Lesotho.
Well, you can understand. It's from the Sotho Madison.
Okay, okay. I like it. And it's a very fine hat too.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, this next gentleman has got a great pair of shades on. Well, silk shades. And they're pink with black dots on.
Yes, this gentleman is special. He's a son of a chief. He's more privileged. He can speak English.
Where did you get the idea of the excellent wig and the pink glasses? They're very nice. Do you rock around at home like that? Or I mean, actually, when you're out in the fields with the sheep, do you wear that? No.
No.
It's stage gear. I knew that. It's stage gear, isn't it? This is quite nice too. Is this from one of your own sheep?
Yes, this one is from my sheep.
Yeah.
And then this is the skin from my sheep. I have realized that it's a good thing to make a costume.
It's a very funky sheepskin skirt, really. Or kilt. And this is another oil drum. Or oil can guitar, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... Okay, now we've just got a couple more things here. Well, actually, one. Hey, now, this is a very good costume. I like it a lot. He's got a pink feather boa around his neck and, indeed, an excellent pink long wig. That's a very fine look. And again, we've got the kind of... It's a sort of mini skirt this time, or a mini kilt. And it's got some Beyoncé badges on it.
Yes.
Hey, you might have to have a new Beyoncé haircut now. You know that, don't you? Now, tell me more about this instrument, though. It's a bit like a berimbau, isn't it?
It is. It's called Huarinyana.
Okay.
And I don't know whether to call him Josepha or Yvonne. Because he gave himself his new name, Yvonne. Anyway,
all cool. We like this. But you play it by
it's
hitting the stick on the wire. Yes.
Yes. I suppose if there was somebody's birthday tonight, you could play them Happy Birthday. It's called Huarinyana. Show them the English way of how it's played in English.
So, okay, I'm afraid it's time for your last tune, which is called
upset.
Something to Think About.
Max is upset.
Oh! Hey! Sorry, I did see you sitting there, but listen, he's got a very, very woolly skirt on, a very fine hat, and he's got a drum here made of, it's an oil drum, and the skin of it is made of rubber, and so are the beaters.
It's tyre from a tractor.
Okay.
And that's a tube, yes.
Okay, but now we've got to give you something to think about. Something to think about, gentlemen. Thank you. That tune was called Something to Think About. Let's hear it for Sotu Sound. Now, they're playing every day at the festival at 1:30 at the Gilded Balloon until August the 26th. But if you want to take them home with you, well, their CD Junk Funk is out right now on Riverboat Records. And by the way, for those of you at home, there are pictures of the band on the Lake Junction page on the BBC Radio 3 website. You better have a look at that. And it'd be great to hear you tweet in, maybe, whether you're in the audience or at home, at BBC Radio 3. That's how to get hold of us. Over the next 7 days, you can listen to this programme again and hear what a magnificent audience you are. Just have a look at our radio. Just have a look on the Radio 3 website, again, the Lake Junction page, and you can listen again to the programme from there. Now, when you look at this year's Edinburgh International Festival programme, it's really clear, at least to us, that the enfants terribles of the 70s, people like Patti Smith, Philip Glass, and Meredith Monk, you'll see all their names there, they've become the establishment. And among them, you have to number an artist who moved freely between music and visual art, between art and technology. He created his own universe between the boundaries. Nam June Paik. You've probably never heard of him. But I visited the Talbot Rice Gallery yesterday to have a look at a very special exhibition of his work. Transmitted live, Nam June Paik resounds. And principal curator there, Pat Fisher, was kind enough to show me around the exhibition and explain the significance and inherent musicality of this multimedia pioneer.
Just as an aside, an area like this, there is musical reference almost everywhere. The overarching theme of the 2013 festival is art and technology. And music and technology is, again, a thread of this exhibition. So that here you have the electronic opera on the wall behind us. You have the TV cello here that was created for and played by Charlotte Moorman. And inside the televisions themselves are images of Charlotte playing the TV cello. And then on the left and right, where we're standing, are two of the wonderful musician robots. Schubert is on the left and Beethoven is on the right. And these are robots made of radios and miniature televisions, and they have live imagery.
And little stereograms images. Too, little turntables.
He's kind of waving to us, I think.
Yes, he's got three styluses that he's waving with, yes.
Namjoon Paik was a Korean-born film, video and music artist. He was born in Seoul in 1932, and he died in Miami in 2006. The family fled from Korea during the Korean War. Namjoon Paik often referred that this began his life as a global nomad. He studied in Japan, he studied music and aesthetics. He was doing a thesis on the musician Schoenberg, and he went to Germany to complete that research. And it's at that time he came into contact with what I understand was a remarkable melting pot of creative people. With electronic opera, the music that you're hearing are extracts from Beethoven's Fourth Symphony. And what you're looking at is a large-scale wall projection. And at times you are seeing the Boston Symphony Orchestra playing the music, and at other times you are seeing images derived from the synthesizer. So these are abstracted images of the music itself, a cacophony of visual and sound.
A visual cacophony. He also was a formative influence, was he not, on the Fluxus movement?
Fluxus comes from flow. And there, the Fluxus artists had an interest in chaos and happenstance, but most of all, they were interested in breaking down the boundaries between art forms. How can you bring together the creativity of visual art, the creativity of music, of poetry? Some of the others that are referred to in this exhibition, for example, the classically trained musician Charlotte Moorman, or thinking of someone like the dancer Merce Cunningham, or the beat poet Allen Ginsberg, or indeed Yoko Ono. I shouldn't forget about Yoko Ono.
How influential was John Cage in his work?
I feel that John Cage, and indeed Namjoon Paik himself, said that he was hugely influential, going so far as to say that it was the influence of John Cage that made him a visual artist. In 1970, Namjoon Paik collaborated with an American television station to create a four-hour, he described it as a video wallpaper that was a mixture of imagery and sound from across the world, from Japanese television advertising and variety shows, but overarchingly concentrating as a homage to the Beatles.
So and the video, soundtrack. Video commune, Beatles from beginning to end?
Yes, Beatles from beginning to end.
This program runs for 4 hours without interruption. Please do your own thing. Treat it like an electronic wallpaper or like a light show. It has no beginning, no end. When you tune in, you can go out and come back. We'll be here for 4 hours.
What part does music play in his work?
I think that music plays an enormous part in his work. He was, as we said earlier, a classically trained musician. And it seems to me that music was the overarching principle in his work. If you think of the notion of collaboration, I hope I'm not using a pun here, the orchestration of bringing so many different material elements together to create his work, from found objects to electronic gadgets to actually fine art materials, historical materials like Buddha figures, for example. He orchestrated all of these things together. And in particular, in many of his works, it seems to me that he was trying to imagine the sight of music. He was trying to bring together the differing art forms in a similar way to some of the principles that we mentioned about Fluxus. So it was definitely from the beginning to the end of his career an overarching principle.
Yes, indeed. That piece was recorded at the must-see exhibition transmitted live, NAMM June Paik Resounds. It's at Edinburgh's Talbot Rice Gallery until October the 19th, and it very much represents one of the fundamental themes of this year's Edinburgh International Festival, the relationship between artists and technologies, how new developments can influence how artists work and how artists, in turn, influence how technologies develop. So this is Lake Junction, live from the BBC tent at Potter Row at the heart of the Edinburgh Festivals. And we have more now for you from the Aurora Percussion Duo. This is Keiko Abe's Wind in the Bamboo Grove, number 2. The Aurora Percussion Duo. Thank you. the Aurora Percussion Duo. And they were playing Duo Per Uno by Nebojša Jovan Zivkovic, and it was arranged by Delia Stevens. She told us about that. You can see them play live, if you like, at the Royal Overseas League House, Princes Street, August the 15th. That's Thursday the 19th, the 21st, the 22nd, and at the National Museum of Scotland on August the 17th and 20th. Aurora Percussion Duo. Amazing. And now, something equally amazing, really. Back to Bella. Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch.
I buried you deep, deep down. I buried you down. I buried you deep, deep down. I buried you down. Now my heart is in three pieces. The smallest of the three is trapped inside of me. A tiny shard that rattles where the whole thing used to be. The second follows you as you drink through the town. Knows of every dark-eyed girl that you parade around. Oh, three pieces of my heart. 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 Last piece wanders lost, but love that was the cost. The biggest part of my poor heart, no one left to trust. So a warning take by me, don't share your love for free. For men will lie as surely as there's salt in the salt sea. Oh, I buried you deep, deep down. I buried you down.
Three pieces of my heart. Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch. Unbelievably, we've reached the end of the show on this warm Edinburgh Festival night. Aww. Join us again tomorrow night at the later time of 11:45 when we'll be featuring Meredith Monk along with other artists who've been delighting us in the packed venues and concert halls of this fine city. We've time for one more tune tonight. Yay! From Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch, and they'll be playing at Edinburgh's Queen's Hall on Thursday, and their album Battle Plan is out now. But what is the final song going to be?
One more song, so we'll do a song called
One More Day. One More Day. Thank you very much, Bella Hardy and the Midnight Watch. Thank you, Lake Junction audience. And there we leave her, Bella Hardy, and the Midnight Watch with One More Day. Late Junction was presented live from Edinburgh by Max Reinhardt. Back tomorrow, as he says, a quarter to midnight.